1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 7. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Let's pray. Father, I do ask that you open our hearts today. Lord, we want to hear from you, not my words, not my thoughts, Lord, but your words. And Lord, as we dig into your scripture and we learn of this subject, Lord, I pray that we learn a little bit more of you, that we become a little bit closer to you and an understanding of who you are. So Father, open our hearts and our minds. We desire to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So God is love, and if we show love, that means we have God in us. And sometimes you might wonder, I don't know about that, because there are people out there that I definitely know God isn't in them, but they show love in some form or another. So how can that be? Well, part of it is our limited English language, because we use the word love, and that's about the only word we have for love. And there's a difference in these this simple word for us of love. For instance, I can say, "I love my wife." I can also say, "I love cheesecake." Now, is there a difference between these two? Absolutely. Have you ever had cheesecake? It's delightful. It's wonderful. So there's a difference in our word love, but we just use one word, love. But in the Bible, they have different words, Greek words. And so where we just see the word love, it might be a different definition, a different word. So the Bible describes three different words for love. The first one is eros. And to get a good definition, a good understanding of that, you'd have to follow like the writings of a guy named Michael Bolton, who wrote a song, "When a Man Loves a Woman." That'd be as far as we go. We got some kids in here. But that's the type of love eros is. It's this unique love, this bond between a man and a woman. But then there's phileo love. And that, we have the city called Philadelphia. It's the city of brotherly love. That's what phileo is. It's an affinity. It's drawn towards. It's a like. And that's phileo. The opposite Greek word to phileo is phobia. And so phobia is kind of a repel, or you push against. And so that's a common love in the Bible, is we like each other. And so that would be phileo. But the final one is agape love, which in its simplest form simply means charity. It means putting someone else before you. That is agape love. And that's what God does to us. And that's the love we're looking at here in 1 John chapter 4. For he uses the word love over and over and over and over again. Well, what type of love? This agape love. This charity love. This unique love that only comes from God. And if you show this love, you have that love in you. Agape. So, with the help of John, we're going to read through this and have him define to us, describe to us what this love looks like. So reading on in verse 9, it said, "God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." So right here, John is defining what agape love looks like. And he says, this love is how God sent his Son to die for us so that we can live. That's the charity. That's the agape. God showed his love. He showed this love to us by sending us Jesus Christ. There's our definition. But it also says, not that we loved. So this love that God gave us isn't because we loved. It's kind of the chicken and the egg thing. Which one came first? Our love of God or God's love for us? Because some of us think that's how it is. That God only loves us if we love him first. So I've gotta love him first, and therefore he will pour out of his love on us. But that is not true. God loved us first. Not that we loved, because he loved. You can also think of a mother and a child, a newborn child. When that baby is born, the mom loves the child. Does the child love the mom? Probably doesn't even know or understand. Some of you are looking at your older kids right now, wondering, do they still love me? But the mom loves first. My youngest son, Andrew, was born 2.5 months premature. And we didn't know, because of the complications, if mom would survive or if the baby would survive. And there was a surgery, it was a quite a major surgery. And Emily got sent up to a recovery room, and I went up there to meet her. I hadn't seen Andrew yet. And I went up there, and she was laying on her side, and she was kind of in and out of consciousness. And she was groaning. She was in pain. And she had this button. And every time when she hit it, she got a shot of morphine because she was in pain. My wife is a tough cookie. And she was in great pain. What she didn't know is you only got a shot of morphine every 10 minutes, but she kept on hitting the button. She'd pass out for like 60 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes. She'd wake up and hit the button and groan and then go back to sleep. And she did that for 10, 15, 20 minutes. She was just in pain, coming in and out. And I can't remember if it was an hour or 2 hours. Finally, she kind of got up and she just looked at me and says, I want to see my son. She hadn't seen her baby yet. I want to see my son. I said, hun, you can't. I mean, I want to see my son. Yes, ma'am. And we put her in the wheelchair, and it was on the other side of the hospital, and I had to bring her over there, and she was in pain, and I had to go slow, and there was a ramp, and she kind of, but she wanted to see her baby because she loved her son. Did Andrew love mom? He didn't quite know that yet. That's God's love for us. Even if we don't know it or we don't even shine it back at him, God loved you first. You need to see that. You need to know that. Verse 11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, here he's about to measure it, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. The Bible tells us we can't really see God, because if we see God, we'd turn into a pile of dust. I mean, he's that powerful, and we've got stuff in us. And yet he's saying right here, we actually can see God. We can see God in each other when we express love. We can shock the world with love. You see, the world is used to seeing selfishness. But the world can actually see what God looks like. You see, when we think about what God looks like, you know, he's this 5'11", 6-foot individual, probably older in his like 70s or 80s, got this big beard and wears a white flowing robe and he's got a deep voice, right? That's our picture, our image of God. It's not what God looks like. God looks like love. When you see someone lay down their life, someone puts someone else first. You actually see that action of love. You just saw God. That's what God looks like. He doesn't look like this figure. He looks like love. And we can show the world love. If you show the world love to someone that doesn't deserve it, they have to pause and go, what is that? That's agape. That's God's love. And so we can show the world love. And it says, brought to full expression. It means it's kind of this process type thing to where you get to the point where it's the full expression, a complete or perfect love. Our mission statement here at Grace Community Church is training to serve, serving to love, loving to live. I want you to live the abundant life. I want you to get up in the morning, whether it's negative 24 or 124, you get up in the morning and go, this is the best day ever because I'm a child of God and God's in me and I'm in him and this is the best thing ever. And you may have hardships all around you, but you're living the abundant life. How in the world do we get there to that perfect love with God? Well, let's start by me training you or someone else in the church training you to serve. Let's teach you the scripture. Let's teach you the truths. Let's teach you how to play instruments, how to help in kids' church. Let's teach you those things. And then you'll serve. And you serve in here, the safe place. And you help people. And some people you phileo, and some people you phobia. But still, you serve them. And as you serve them, one day sometimes it clicks. That, yeah, maybe I phobia this person, but I'm grateful to help them out. And you learn to love. And when you learn to love agape like God loves, all of a sudden it's unlocked. All of a sudden you are full of God's love and you're living the abundant life. And then when you live the abundant life, you help train others to serve, to love, to live. We want to get to the full expression of God's love in us. Allow Him to be complete in us. Verse 13. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. So one of His first proofs was this love came because He gave us His Son. But then, beyond that, God gave us even more evidence, more proof. There's proof to show that God loves me, and that's by His Spirit being given to me. God says, here, I'll give you the keys to the Ferrari. I'm going to give you the power to love, because God wants us, once we're full of His love, He wants us to love others. Well, God, it's really hard to do that. God says, I know, I've been there. Let me help you. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit will allow you to love others. The Holy Spirit will give you the gifts of the Spirit. You'll have mighty faith to be able to love others. You'll be able to do miracles to love on others. Healings, tongues, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, service. God wants to give us the keys, the power, the tools to be able to love people through these. And He'll give us the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. He'll give us patience. Because yes, we need patience to love on people. Parents, can I get an amen? The proof is that the Spirit of God is within us. Verse 14. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. John is testifying. John is known as the beloved. He was like the best friend to Jesus on this earth. And he's just testifying. He said, I saw Jesus Christ. And I know that Jesus was sent by God to be the Savior of the world. So he's testifying, which is a good thing for us to do as we love this world. We testify. But he's saying, I saw it with my own eyes. And he's declaring that if you believe or declare that Jesus is the Son of God, as he does, then God is in him, is in you. If you declare that Jesus is Son of God, God is in you and you're in God. Which is true, although, as an aside, I'd say that's not a complete scripture. We need a little bit more, because on your own, if you go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 and a little bit beyond, Jesus is having a dialogue with a demon. And the demon says, Jesus, the Son of God. So if he declared that Jesus is Son of God, is God's love inside the demon? Nah, not so much. But that's a starting point to declare to understand that Jesus is the Son of God and believing and having faith in Jesus. Verse 16. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in His love. God is love and all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. Anybody here want to go on a vacation? I'm pretty sure most of us would want to go south. And apparently we got to go way south because it's even cold in Texas. Why do we want to go south? Because it's warm and we want to see the sun. And on a cold day, what we do is we want to step out in the sun. And when we're in the sun, it's amazing how it just kind of warms us all the way to our core. It gets to our bones, and we go, ah, oh, that's God's love. We need to get in God's love. And when we are, it gets to our bones. It gets to our inner being. We can be in the sun and have the sun inside us. That warmth, that love. That's what we need, is God's love all around us, in us, outside of us, everywhere. Verse 17, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Love grows. It doesn't happen just like that. I believe it happens that we have all of God's love. When we accept Jesus Christ, we declare Him the Son of God, and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. All of God's love, His Spirit and all those gifts and fruits is in us, just like that. But for us to express it, to show it, to walk in it. It does take a little time. It does take some growing to others. So we need to learn to grow in God's love. That's a catchy tune there. Going on in verse 17. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about God is just. God has judgment, and He will cast judgment on us. We either have life or we have death. And if we live in that fear of God's judgment, you're like, man, I don't know where I'm at. As I said last week, then deal with it. If you have this fear of God's judgment, you're not living in His love. He's loving you, but you haven't received it. It's not like the sun coming from inside. God is a judge, but we must not fear it. We should have confidence because we have God's love in us. Don't fear it. Jump in. Jump into the pool of God. Be immersed by His love. Verse 18. Such love. So He's defined it. He's proved it. He's shown the evidence of. Now He's gonna drive this home. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. All right, my old youth pastor side is going to come out. I want to describe this. I want to give you a little demonstration. You might be wondering, why is there a little table and a glass? Some of you are super, you didn't even know there was a little table up here with a glass sort of thing. It's cold. But I need a little help. Genevieve, would you be so bold to give me a little help in describing this? Would you come up here, please? You are awesome. I had a feeling when I saw you this morning, I'm like, she'd be willing to do this. Thank you, Genevieve. Why don't you come stand right here? I'm going to give you this. You okay with that? Do you know what to do with that? Yes, you can put it up to your mouth. Okay. And we're have a little chat here. Do you know how to beatbox? Can you do that? No? Okay. All right. We don't need to do that then. You don't want me to do that either. All right. So here we have a glass of water. Does that look pretty clean? If you were really, 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 really thirsty, would you drink that glass of water?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably would. Okay. So I've got another one here. Does that look like clean water? No. If you were really, really thirsty and you wanted to drink one or the other, which one would you choose?
That one.
Yeah, because it's kind of clean, right? Okay. Let's pretend that this one has sewage in it. Do you know what sewage is? It's like toilet water. Ew. Okay. Would you want to drink that one?
No.
No. Okay. So which one do you think would represent Jesus Christ?
That one.
Yes. Because He's pure and He's clean. You can bring the microphone up a little bit closer. So who would this describe? If this is Jesus, would that be us? Yeah, so sometimes we're yicky. We got some nasty stuff in us, right? So, what if we take a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of this clean stuff, and we put it into there? Would you want to drink that now? You would?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Well,
it's,
maybe not.
It's mostly sewage, right? How about this? If this was like sewage, and we put a little bit into there, would you want to drink that one? If that had, no, probably not. And so in us is this yuckiness, right? In us is fear, which we just read. And there's doubts and there's worries and there's sins. And sometimes we have bad thoughts. And to get rid of it, we could pour it out, right? If I poured this out, there'd be no more yucky, but there'd be nothing in it. So the scripture we just read says, this love expels. Do you know what the word expel means?
Gets rid of.
Gets rid of. And I'll give you a demonstration. Do me a favor. Take a deep breath and hold it. And then blow it out. You just expelled air. What did you do? You pushed it out. And so God wants us to push out fear. So let's give that a try. I'm going to need your help with this. I'm going to put this down. We might make a little bit of a mess here. So here's us in our yuckiness. I'm going to trade with you. And what do you think this is? That's God's love. It's perfect. It's clear, right? And we're supposed to expel all the fear. So why don't you just pour it into that cup and just keep pouring it. Keep pouring it, okay? Just keep going. Well, God has a lot of love and it never runs out, right? He is just full because that's who He is. And we keep pouring it into us all the way to the last drop, even though there's not a last drop. All right. So if you had to and you were really thirsty, would you drink that? Why? This was full of yuckiness, wasn't it? But now, it's clean because God's love has expelled all the yuckiness. And that's how God loves you. Thank you, Genevieve. You did a great job. Give her a hand. That's the love of God. And you might think, I've got fear, I've got doubts, I got worries, I got addictions, I got issues. How in the world do I get it out? Well, let me give you a couple of books. They're New York Times bestsellers. Let me give you a couple of steps. Let me give you a couple of ideas or analogies. That'll get rid of this stuff. No. You have to allow God's love to be poured into you and continue to pour into you. Because that love expels, it pushes out all that yickiness, that fear. If you have fear, it's not getting rid of the fear. It's replacing it with something. God's love. And that's the only thing that we can bring into us to get rid of those fears. Now, that'd be a great ending right there. I think we got a picture of God's love, but we got to finish the chapter because John has kind of one last warning in there. Verse 20. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we can't see? And He has given us this commandment, those that love God must also love their fellow believer. I'm going to kick that, I know it. Let's go a hypothetical. Okay, just completely made up. It might be hard for you to understand. But let's say, for instance, there was someone within the church that you didn't quite see eye to eye with. I know, hard to imagine. Maybe someone you disagreed with has different thoughts and ideas than you do. Okay? You with me? Can we maybe imagine that? Let's say, for instance, that person was in leadership. Ooh, I know that never happens. Because we always trust and follow our leaders completely. Let's say that person in leadership made a decision or a choice that you slightly disagreed with. Okay? And you thought, I don't know, I don't think it's a good idea. You with me? At any moment, if you have that thought of, well, I hope that decision fails. I hope that blows up in their face. I hope it goes the wrong way so that they can come to me and go, you were right. If you have that thought, and I know it's completely made up, if you have that thought, you have not the love of God in you, and you are a liar. Can I make that any more clear? Ouch. That's hate in our hearts when we want something bad or poor or negative in someone else's life. And in here, it should not be so. Maybe to understand a little bit more, anybody with me that you'd be okay with maybe a small, you know, earthquake, let's say in California, just in a little regional place, that the earth opened up and a certain couple of individuals, specific individuals, actually got sucked in and they were gone. Anybody ever have that thought? You know, maybe I'd be okay if that person wasn't around anymore, turned into a pillar of salt. And that's someone in the world. If you have that thought, however reasonable, you have not the love of God in you. That's hate. Can I say that any more clearly? You have not the love of God in you. Now, can we disagree? Absolutely. And that's what this place is for. That's what the family is for. As I shared with a business meeting, we want to share some ideas. And so far, our leadership, we've got unity. We're all on the same page. And we've got little tweaks here and there, but we want to present it to you. And if you go, oh, that's terrible. I hope that just blows up in their face. That's a seed within the family that is yucky. But again, we can disagree. We're talking about love. Spouses, do you ever disagree? Never, right? But there's supposed to be love in you. Yes, there can be disagreements. But if you want the worst, if you want some destruction, if you want your spouse to learn a hard lesson, that's not the love of God. That's hate. And you are a liar. If that's in you, how do we fix that? You have to allow God to continue to pour His love in you. You go to a place like this and you worship. You open up your Bible and you pray. God, pour in your love. When someone says something that hurts you, you take a moment because the Spirit of God can teach you patience. You take a moment, you take a breath, you expel all the bad, and you respond in love. That is God's love. There is no place in this world for hate. There is no place in this sanctuary for hate. There is no place in your heart for hate. It must be expelled because that root, that seed grows. If I as a father have hate in my heart towards certain individuals, it's going to come out. And it's going to be a seed that plants in my wife's heart, in my children's heart. And if I'm in any sort of authority, those under me. I must not have that on my lips. I must not have that in my mind. I must not have that in my heart. And how do I get rid of it? God's love. It is the only thing. God needs to pour His love into me, and He's doing it. He's sitting there every day with a picture of God's love, and it's not running out. And a lot of times we put our hand over the cup, and we say, no, God, that's enough. I don't want any more. Yeah, that's clear enough. But God is a good Father, and He's given of Himself. Two parents have already walked out to take care of their kids who are upset. Why? Because they love their kids. And we should have that love all the time in our hearts. Let there not be hate. Let there not be deceit on your lips. And this is the practice place. This is the body of Christ. It should be a little bit easier, though hard. It should be a little bit easier to love one another. And yeah, we can disagree, but we can disagree in love. And we can put others first as we have conversations. But to want the destruction of others, whether in this place or out there, that's dangerous. That's not the love of God. God wants to pour out His love in your heart, and He's doing it right now. You just have to go stand out in the sun and open up. God, pour it in. Pour it in. And I know that I know that I know that I know that He's never going to run out of love. Why? Because God is love. Let's pray. Pour it out, Heavenly Father. Pour it out into our hearts. Lord, take delight in us. Fill us up. Lord, expel the hate. Expel the addictions. Expel the bad attitudes. Expel the bad words. Lord, because we go around proving what side we're on. Because if there's a little bit of, a little sliver of hate, Lord, we've just proven who our Father is. Father, I want to prove that You are my Father. And I do that by understanding that You love me, You agape me, You put me first, and You gave me Your Son, Jesus Christ, and then You gave me Your Holy Spirit so that I can have love and joy and peace and patience. Lord, fill me up with that. But Lord, I ask You to expel the things that should not be in me, and I can point them out pretty quick. Lord, expel my thoughts and my attitudes. Expel my pride. Expel my selfishness. Push it out, God. Let there be no room left in me. But also, Lord, give me the opportunities in this place and outside of this place to practice. Practice this love that you're filling me up with. Fill me with you. Fill me with more of your love every single moment of every single day. Father, I pray that we prove to the world, we can show the world what you look like. That's by putting others first. This world is starving for that. This world needs to see your love. So Father, pour your love into our hearts. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot a final verse, and it's so good in my conclusion of my conclusion. What does God's love look like? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah, I had to use it. It's a great name. For the Lord your God is living among you. How do we know this? Because I see you loving other people, and that proves that God is living among us. He is a mighty Savior. And he will take delight in you with gladness. God takes delight in you. He delights in you with gladness. If you think he's some big ogre on a throne with a scepter and he's going to smack you in the head, you got the wrong image of God. God is up there taking delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. He just proved the John's writing. He's going to calm your fears. And here it is. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Do you know that? That God sings over you? Because he's a father. And he loves you. He sings over you. I was reminded of this in the first service. When my firstborn was born, Kaylee, I'd hold her in my arms. And I'd do this. Kaylee, Kaylee, Kaylee Jean, sweetest girl I've ever seen. How I love you so much more than I ever did before. I'd sing over my daughter because I love her. God does that to you. He sings over you. He goes to the piano and he composes a song of his delight over you with gladness. Is that the image of God you have? Because God is love and he delights over you. Amen? Have that picture in your heart. He loves you so much.